Hello and welcome to episode 20, the big 2-0 of the Rugby Rundown with myself, Will Hooley, finally back with more of a voice, and the main man, the big man himself, Alex Corbisiero. Corbs, how are you doing, pal? Number 20 in the books.
20 episodes, mate. Time flies when you're having fun. Hey, Will?
We're trying.
We're trying. Things are good, mate.
I love just coming into your household because anyone who doesn't know, by the way, is we're not blessed with the biggest budgets in the world. This is actually Corbs' house. We converted into a little bit of a studio. And anytime I come in, I can just tell on the man's face whether he's been going through a lot. And it's safe to say that you look drained when I came into the house earlier today. But you're ready to go.
Well, the game was only yesterday. And, you know, so I've a lot of turnaround time going on in the time of getting this pod up and running as well. And, you know, it's tiring stuff, you know, putting this whole pod on my back, piggybacking this whole thing, you know, offering the studio, offering all the vibes. No, I'm joking. But it's definitely, you know, more of a stressful week coaching-wise than maybe I would like.
Well, you still got a win. We'll talk about that later. Of course, coming up is that MLR Week 7 review of all the action that happened. And then we've also got a couple of very special guests in the form of Free Jack stars, the leader himself, Josh Larson. And, I mean, he is like the, what is it, the Duracell bunny? I think that's the right expression. Number 15, Reese McDonald, who's just carving it up. Looking forward to chatting to them because then they're going to be in the Clash of the Week coming up as New England Free Jacks play Seattle. So we'll look at Week 8. I can't believe it's already Week 8. That is mental. Yes. And then also, we're going to have a look in terms of college rugby because there is a lot hotting up towards that final, the CRAA, in the 4th of May. So we're going to have Blake Bradford, the life university coach, coming on a little bit later as well, mate.
He also does the Eagle scrum as well.
He does indeed. You will see and know him well. But Corbs, let's get into it to begin with. As always, we wanted to start, for the last couple of weeks we have anyway, with some rugby rundown news. Right, so we'll start big because it is big in wherever you are in the world, because this signing that Leinster have made, Corbs, caught my eye. I think it's caught everyone's eye on social media. The New Zealand All Black, Geordie Barrett, has signed with Leinster, only for about 6 months. Not really sure about it, all in terms of what the logistics are. Quite good for European rugby. Is it even worth talking about? Well, it is quite big news, I think.
He's only coming for 6 months?
I think it was 6 months.
So what, he's going to come at the beginning of the season and be back for Super?
So I think.
Fascinating. I think it's awesome. It's a fascinating dilemma as you got Razor there and a lot of sort of the uptick for New Zealand. But then there's always going to be that debate is should there be like a 50 cap rule or something where those boys can come to Europe and then still play for the All Blacks? Like if the All Blacks pick their best players, how many World Cups would they have? That's always the question. Look at South Africa. But excited to see him there. And I don't think Leinster could get any better, but that's one way.
I know. Well, maybe just
to make yourself even better. Wow, what a signing. And, you know, Leinster, unreal on the weekend as well.
I was going to just bring it in there nicely because European action happened, the quarterfinal of the Champions Cup. Corbs, for us, we more look at the Premiership teams because that is what we have on the Rugby Network. The Premiership Rugby, great. Brilliant, outstanding performances for Harlequins. And then also, of course, Northampton Saints as well, man. Like, obviously a club close to our hearts. They make it into the semi-finals. Exeter got demolished by Toulouse. And then Leinster obviously doing an absolute job on La Rochelle. Impressive stuff, though, for Quins and Saints to book a place in European semis.
Incredible. Obviously, Saints, their attack is just on fire at the moment. And you know, there's a lot of talk like Bulls didn't pick their strongest team, which I think frustrated some people. But, you know, Saints put them to the sword. It was closer than you would have thought at halftime, but then Saints really pulled away. And then, yeah, Marcus Smith bringing the fire and an absolute shootout in Bordeaux, which is unreal win for Quins. Considering that Sarri's got absolutely blitzed there the week before, that's a very, very strong, impressive one. And then looking ahead, you know, some big... big semi-finals coming up with Saints playing. They just announced Leinster at Croke Park.
Which is going to be a massive game.
And exciting stuff in that comp. And good to see 50% of the teams from the Prem.
From the Prem. And actually talking of the Prem, the Premiership is back. And of course, on the Rugby Network, we've got one game as well on Fox Sports. You'll be able to see Mr. Alex Corpusiero, on your halftime screen during that game. That game's on the Sunday, Sale taking on Harlequins. But we begin on Saturday, actually, Corbs. No Friday night games in round 15 of the Premiership. Saracens taking on Gloucester. Northampton back at home against Leicester in a massive Midlands derby. We know about that, having played in them. And Exeter Chiefs, Bath, again, another West Country, Southwest. West Country. I never know. Everything is that insulting? What, Southwest, West Country? Same thing. And then, yeah, Sale Quins, which is on FS2. And then we've got Bristol taking on Newcastle on the Sunday. So we are the run-in, as they're calling it, Corbs, the Premiership, coming towards the end of the season and those playoffs around the corner, pal.
Yeah, absolutely games. Heating up. And a few games with teams in the hunt there. You know, Exeter and Bath, obviously, but both very much in the hunt. Same with, obviously, Saints right at the top. And then you've got Leicester Tigers who, you know, will want to try and keep their hopes alive. It's getting tight now. And if you're in that sort of fifth, sixth, you can't really afford to lose anything right now. And if you're at the top, you still can't really afford to lose much mental. Because it's going to be a photo finish. And what a Premiership run it has been. And exciting to see it back after a bit of a break from Europe.
It is. I mean, it's really exciting. Who's going to get in that top four? The fact between second, Bath on 44 points, and Sale on eighth, only on 37 points, is still all to play for. So make sure you watch on the Rugby Network all that Premiership action coming up. That's pretty much it of the news, Corbs, I think. Unless you can tell me something.
Nope.
Let's get into it then and get the review done of week 7 in Major League Rugby. Right, Corbs. So first of all, the predictions. I have not accumulated the overall standings. I have not had time.
Oh, come on! Come on! Why? Did you die?
No, you teased it
on social media that it was coming this week. Then we tie, which means that I am actually winning.
Look, no one knows.
Then there's no chance that there's a tally. Like,
there's
come on,
big,
guys.
There's a big pot
I'm
of money.
I'm about to go McEnroe and absolutely leather the umpire. Yeah.
Look, there's a big pot of money at the end as well. So there's lots to play for. But, Corbs, at the moment, I just don't know. We're going to have to come and look at the numbers.
I'm going to guess up by like 3 or so.
Ooh, that's a big guess. I reckon I'm back towards you. But then at the same time...
Yeah, I think 2 or 3, but it's definitely...
We did draw this weekend.
But I had a couple weeks where I won, so it makes me think like 2 or 3 ahead.
I know. Well,
I don't think you've only beaten me, once?
Find out another
week. You've only beaten me on one round.
We'll find out another week. Maybe later towards the end of the season. Anyway, so yeah, that's interesting in terms of those predictions. The score lines. Well, I got this first one right. It was Dallas who got a 22 points to 20 win against Utah Warriors. It was a game that went literally one side to the other. An unbelievable try from the Utah Warriors. Manson, that fullback, actually played on the wing, sorry. He has wheels, that guy, the New Zealander they managed to pick up. But it was a Thomas Beckerman try from the maul, 15-man maul to push it over. And a first win at home for the Dallas Jackals. Quick one on them, Corbs. You're quite impressed with them.
Very impressed with them. I believe is that their 10th maul try of the season?
Not by Kutzer, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's got Beckerman 9 and then Beckerman got the 10th, I think. That's how my math worked. But yeah, very impressive. Dallas's first home win of the season as well, considering where they've been in the table. That's a great sign for them to pick up that win. And you know, Utah, don't look at their...
I know.
Their league position or whatever is not, they are a very good side. And
they are.
They're obviously on the wrong end of some results, but I would say that if you actually watch most games they're playing, you could actually make an argument of seeing how they could win them.
You could say that for a few teams, though. I do know what you mean. It just shows how competitive it is this season. We're missing out the Houston versus New England games. We'll come to that in a minute with help of our guests. Then there was 3 games on the Sunday. Chicago had Anthem, and I thought I'd see more from Anthem just in terms of like their defense would be getting better. But if credit to Chicago, some brilliant tries in this one. That great try peeling off the back of the lineup, Dylan Fawcett, feeding Billy Meeks, then back inside to Nate Osberger for his try. Jason Higgins, obviously Janny, good mate of mine. You'll know him, of course.
Fire,
he's on fire. I mean, he scored a hat trick in that game. So Chicago, made mincemeat of Anthem. However, they still got a bonus point try, Anthem. So you could say progress is still there.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, obviously Anthem, it's always going to be a tough slog. But I think the thing I took out of that is Chicago's attack is finally starting to click.
It's starting to click.
Which is probably had been that missing piece.
I wonder why.
And they have all these other... I have all these other things going on that have been positive about their game. And now you're seeing that, that makes you start to think of all the hype that, you know, we were always expecting big things in this year. It's starting to line up, which, you know, especially with how the East is still wide open, you could easily see them getting a home semi still. You know, don't like Chicago, it's looking pretty positive. Obviously, they want to show that against maybe one of the higher ranked sides next, but I can just see the nuts and bolts, especially attack wise, really moving forward.
Yes, no, I agree with you, mate. I really do agree with you. Just before we come to your game, Los Angeles that took on Seattle. Now, I had this, that was on FS2, and I had this game, commentating on this game. I honestly thought I was going to see more from RFC LA. I'm not going to lie. Some conditions, it was Corbs, how on earth that, we'll talk about San Diego in a minute. You had sunshine, and then like an hour and a half drive away, it was pissing it down. Some tough conditions early doors, and I thought Sam Windsor and JP Smith were outstanding. Sam Windsor stepping in for, obviously, Mac Mason, who's been brilliant all year. But Sam, just the way he controlled things, picked up a try himself. Their kicking game was far superior than RFCLA, which makes such a difference in those conditions. Forward pack was very strong. Rickard Hatting, I actually gave him man of the match, two tries. When he goes well, Seattle go well. They all lift up. Great work for Seattle. They then go top of the tree in the whole of MLR with that win.
Yeah, I thought Seattle were good, clinical, you know, box clever, took their chances. They're a really good side.
They are, yeah.
You know, even though they had, you know, some more competitive results recently, I still think they showed their class, and to have depth to rest Mac Mason, Sam Windsor comes in, does a job.
Kurandrani's though.
Yeah, I know, with some other big name players as well, like are gutted for LA that they weren't more competitive, but you know, they haven't got the deepest squad, and they've really put in some great performances, and you're probably going to get these little dips and stuff.
Yeah, it'll come back. It'll
it's
come
a year
back.
One side. Yeah. And so I think you just got to remember that with them is that they're actually an incredibly good side. It's just, it is tough going back to back to back over and over again in this competition.
I agree with you. And talking of tough, man, the Legion had a tough game. Tough game. 17 points down at halftime at Snapdragon. A wonderful try from Ed Fido. The finishing off, the move through the middle of the scrum. Nola Gold looked like they're on fire. I actually really enjoyed it. Was Rodney Yona and then also Doran Jones working with each other at 10 and 12. Could say that injuries didn't help them in the second half, Nola, in terms of they went messing there, but the Legion just picked it up. You guys picked it up. Tion Lutz, sorry. I don't pronounce that right, apparently. He'll be annoyed at me not pronouncing it with the African accent. But he was superb when he came on, and the bench were fantastic. Well done, mate. Hell of a win. 33 points to 20.
Listen, I'll take the win and to take the bonus point. And it was amazing to see the resilience from the players of rolling their sleeves up and finding a way back into that one. But I think you also got to really credit Nola. They really loaded their back line with all foreigners, and they really came to play. I think Tion with massive impact off the bench. And just our bench in general, we lifted our play in the second half and found the gears we needed to get it done. And yeah, I would have taken a 1-point win after that. Halftime that we were in, but the fact that we were able to get the bonus point was incredible from the players. So I'll take that. And there's a lot of lessons for us to be learned. Discipline, especially in the first half, and a few things like that have got to be better. And then we've just got to control the game a little bit better as well.
No, absolutely. Well, still 5 points, big win, big points going on. We'll take a look at the league standings in a minute. But there was that one last game we haven't talked about, which was our clash of the week going into week 7 of MLR. And it was the Houston Sabercats trying to go 6-0 against the Free Jacks, reigning champions. It was an outstanding game. You must go back and watch it because some of the rugby was brilliant. And in the end, the Free Jacks won 47 points to 35. Rather than Corbs and I talking about it, we wanted to get two of the Free Jacks star players. One, the leader himself, Josh Larson, and really probably one of the players of the MLR at the moment, Reese McDonald. So we sat down with them, talked it all as they reacted from their win and also looking ahead as their big game against Seattle this coming weekend. Right then, we're here with the Free Jacks duo, Josh Larson, Reese McDonald. Boys, so good to have you with us. I know you're very busy, and it might be because you're playing rugby, you're traveling, or you're creating those Instagram posts promoting the big nights of entertainment at the Free Jacks. Josh, how on earth are the lads all behind that, getting on a boat? So a clip coming up now. I'm very impressed, buddy. Very impressed.
Mate, you have to reach out to our media guy, Brendan Buckley. He's kind of stitched up a few of the lads there. But, nah, mate, it's good fun. Get around it. Some boys are definitely out of their comfort zone, but it all adds to the festival atmosphere at game time. So, boys got around it pretty good. And as you probably see by the video there, some guys enjoyed it more than others.
Nah, mate, I'm always jealous of your guys' social media. It's always pretty on point, but especially probably for me is all the Conor McGregor reshares and stuff you guys get. That gets me very envious of you boys.
Yeah, mate. No, Brendan Dees does an awesome job, eh? And they really push it, and it's something I guess the club's big on, growing that audience and gathering more people into to learn about rugby as much as come to the game. So it's good stuff.
Talking of superstars, we've got a superstar. We've got two superstars in front of us, but of course, fullback, Rhys McDonald. Now, Rhys, I remember the last time that me and you were together in person, you were still in your kit. You were very gracious. Obviously, you won in that final back last year. We're having a few too many beers. But, mate, you are really enjoying your rugby. You look like you're really enjoying your rugby. Fantastic win at the weekend against the Sabre the Cats in Houston. I mean, a quick one from you. Like, good to be part of this team, and what a win that was on Saturday.
Yeah, no, definitely. Kind of just been playing with a bit of confidence, I guess. It's the first kind of preseason block that I've had without a few niggles and whatnot. So kind of just really thrived in that environment. Coming to the first couple of rounds really fresh. So I think just keep playing with that confidence. And like you say, just been having heaps of fun. That always helps, I guess. So.
And Rhys, just, for me, are there any sort of players you look up to or sort of, model your game on? Because I've got one in mind who reminds me of you, but I'm just curious of like sort of who you could maybe say models your game style for me.
I when I was younger, I loved watching, obviously grew up as a 10, so I really loved watching Dan Carter, kind of that iconic 10 role. But then kind of as I grew a little bit older, started playing a bit more 15 and whatnot, really like to kind of model, I guess, with Damian McKenzie. He's got a bit of a razzle to him now.
I was waiting for you to say that.
You are our MLR Damian McKenzie for sure. I love it.
Yeah, no, so it's good. It's good fun. It's good to get out there and just kind of, like you say, have fun, express yourself, play what's in front of you.
Josh, would you say, I mean, for you leading these guys, fantastic as well after your injury season last year. Would you say like you guys had a little bit of a mixed start? Obviously that loss against DC, but like when I saw you performing the way you did against the Sabercats, it kind of really made me feel, I thought, oh, the reigning champions are here. It was like a performance that maybe you've been waiting for.
Yeah, I guess just reflecting on that one on the weekend, boys definitely enjoyed it. And it was a massive win for us. Just going down there, a bit of a decent travel stint and that. And I guess looking at the start of the season, mate, obviously, I was speaking before the show around, we have a lot of returning players and staff in that, which made preseason flow really nicely, as Rhys alluded to. But just with that, there are a few new guys coming in still, and just getting them up to speed on our style and trying to evolve our game. There's early in the season that DC win, DC loss, sorry, that was a tough one. But I guess we just kind of look at bigger picture. We had that against San Diego last year, and there's it's a long season ahead. So I think just we're just building week by week, and Houston was a big one for us. So we just got to enjoy that one, but now go back to our process and keep improving. We've got a bigger one against Seattle this week. So it's exciting.
Well, just dropping it in that I picked you boys to win. Will did not. Just look, for the
cheers,
record.
Cheers, Corbs. Appreciate it, mate.
I just thought maybe the home side would come through, mate. That's nothing personal. I'm just saying. No, you boys turned up. You absolutely turned up. And I think, Rhys, just off the back of what Josh said there, like, mate, you were sensational in that game. A try, pretty much an assist as well, going half the length of the pitch. Is the culture really building something like you're wanting to go back-to-back? Has that been talked about?
Yeah, a little bit at the start of the year, it's always going to flow on effect from the year before, but we've kind of tried to put that, aside and focus really on this year. The past is the past. We want to kind of, create those new memories, build something new with a new group of boys. I mean, there are a lot of boys still within that squad from last year, but there's a lot of the new boys coming in, and they've really added heaps of value on and off the field. So, like you say, culture's huge. We pride ourselves out of the Free Jacks. You have a good culture, you're going to perform well on the field. So, yeah, I think everything's just starting to click. I mean, it still is kind of early in the season, I guess. But yeah, we're stepping towards the right direction. I'd like to think so.
And when you look at the game for Houston, Josh, like, you know, Houston have been on a roll in this competition. You know, you're going away, you know, you've got a coast-to-coast pretty much travel there as well. And I thought you guys, you know, you brought the energy, you know, you handled well in the forwards. And then I think teams that want to kick well against you boys have to worry about threats like this man running them back. And then you've also got Potros just pulling the strings at 10. It's kind of what made me think that you guys would win is that sort of recipe to a potential team that does kick a lot.
Yeah, man, I guess like going into it, you know, we knew it's pretty black and white. You know, we knew what Houston bring that physical, you know, round the corner, big boys. We knew we had to hold up at set piece. And it's probably an area, to be honest, with the team we probably haven't been our best at, and it's something we wanted to improve in. So I guess we looked at that and what an awesome opportunity to go against Houston, some area that, you know, has been you know, pretty rough for us the first few weeks, you know, the scrum and the line out. So just righting some of those wrongs, obviously we're nowhere near our potential there and we're still getting better. But I think we knew if we had that, you know, and we could get some ball out wide to guys like Reese and stuff, you know, we'd have a real good shot at it. And so it's definitely nice when you get off, get a good clean line out and then you see Reese down the sideline. It always makes it good, eh?
Doing his job well. I tell you who else is doing his job very well. I want to get a quick comment from you, Reese, is I've got to hand it to him. Jason Potros is probably the best number 10 in the league. I'm sure maybe people could think Mac Mason or at the moment. I mean, he really seems to be finding MLR very easy at the moment.
Yeah, no, he's one of those players that just always looks like he has time. It's been great kind of working with him. His experience that he brings is unbelievable. He really kind of drives the backs, meetings, on the field, whatnot. He's easy to talk to. You get along with him. He's got that, I guess, that veteran status. But he's such a nice guy, down to earth. And, just like I say, really kind of drives the backs in the right direction and easy to play with. So.
And then as you look towards this weekend, you've got a huge clash with Seattle, taking on probably the two top teams in the West back-to-back. You know, how much confidence does the Houston win put in your sails? And also, how excited are you to be actually at home, no travel, in front of, you know, your fans at Fort Quincy as well?
Yeah, no, looking forward to it. Like you say, it's always good to test yourself against the top teams. You know, that's really where you get a good gauge from it, and especially across the West. You know, you play them once, so you really want to put in a good performance going in for the rest of the round. So, yeah, I know Seattle's going to be, I guess, they bring that little bit of difference to Houston. You know, they've still got that size, that pace, and they love to throw the ball around. So can expect a pretty physical game and going to need to be, you know, really step it up again. So looking forward to it though.
And if you beat Seattle, like you just keep going and lead that East. Is that kind of the talking point now in terms of like this game really could influence your whole season going into playoffs?
Yeah, I guess, to be honest, hasn't been spoken about that too much. It's probably been more around that, you know, we're back at home, back at the fort, and something, you know, we drive quite big here in the team. You know, winning home games are important, but it's, yeah, like Reece said, I think it's just the opportunity to go against, you know, a backup, you know, a pretty good performance, you know, definitely still a lot of work on, but to go against a team that's, you know, arguably the best in the comp, you know, just to, you know, test where we're at, backing up on that, you know. So I think, definitely would be a real good statement, I guess you could say, if we're top of these guys and stuff. But again, it's a long season ahead, you know. We've got some, we got LA out there, and then we got Chicago back at home, and then into a bye, and then some, you know, some travel down to NOLA, which, you know, and Miami, you know, and those guys. And I think that's the thing about the league this year I've found is, you know, all the teams are, you know, super, it's a lot closer than it's ever been, you know. So, I think back to this weekend, you know, sign opportunity again, back it up and see how we go. But no, guys are definitely confident, but it's a long season ahead. So we just really got to take it game by game, eh?
Speaks like a true leader.
Yeah, I was going to say, Will, as well, you get your head-to-head matchup of Mac Mason and Potros as well to make your
I look forward to a lot of matchups happening up. It's on the Rugby Network, Clash of the Week, New England Free Jacks, it's Seattle Seawolves. Boys, Thank you so much for coming on. I look forward to seeing another Instagram post. Reese, I don't think I've seen you in one just yet, pal. So I wouldn't mind seeing you in one. Are you trying to stay away from it?
No. We actually did do one that they probably should be releasing soon. So it might even be up there.
Kind of hiding
in the back, though, as I like to do. So, yeah.
No, mate. We want you front and center. Like the way you're playing. Boys, thanks so much for coming on the Rugby Rundown. Good luck this weekend. And hope to speak to you soon later in the year.
Cheers, boys. Good luck.
Cheers.
Thank you, fellas. Keep up good work.
Great to speak to those boys from the Free Jacks, as we saw on the weekend and on their socials. Free Jacks on fire. Your defense is terrifying.
No, I can't sing it. No. You can't
I did
sing
like it.
Well.
Nah, but I liked that.
No, it's good.
I liked
good.
It.
They especially great culture.
Great culture. Away from home, big win. And yeah, I always root for Free Jacks except when I'm playing them. So
that's fair enough. Yeah. That is fair enough. And the Free Jacks go top of their Eastern Conference. Let's have a look at those standings. Now, start with the East. We're very briefly look at this, Corbs. New England, they just progressed themselves a little bit further out and won. Chicago, they have improved in the last few weeks.
10 points in 2 weeks can change the table.
And that is what's happened.
Just like that.
And then the win, obviously, San Diego and Nola picking up nothing in the end means that they drop down. So it's very tight in the middle. You could say Miami still are in it. Obviously, there's plenty of rugby still to play to get in that top four. But New England, impressive. They deserve to be number one.
Yeah, definitely think Free Jacks are the flag bearers of that division. I would like to see it closer, so there's a bit more of a playoff running.
Oh,
a bit like the West is going on.
Let's go to the West then. Let's go straight to the West because
This is quadruple parked right now. Like,
I mean, ultimately, LA is still in it at the bottom. I still think that Dallas-Utah-LA battle, you could say at the moment, for fourth. I mean, the fact I'm even talking like that, there's still so much rugby still to be played. But it's tight and there's some big games coming up. Obviously, we're going to talk about what is in week 8. But Seattle are top of the tree, 29 points. And could you say they are the best team in MLR at the moment?
Maybe. We'll see after they play Free Jacks. I think
probably the fairest
answer. That was really what I was thinking of. Not San Diego the way we're playing at the moment. Hopefully we get there. But I think probably between Seattle, even though they lost to Houston and Free Jacks, probably two of the flag bearers right now.
Right now. Well, that's right now, but we obviously need to talk about what's coming up next week. And we give it all at those predictions, those previews coming up for week 8 of Major League Rugby. Thank you for listening to episode 20 of the Rugby Rundown. We really do hope you've enjoyed it, but this is only a shortened version of the full episode because the full episode is only available on the Rugby Network. We've got all the predictions, the previews of week 8 coming up in Major League Rugby. Plus, we've also got an inside scoop into the CRAA semi-finals. We speak to Life University head coach Blake Bradford. So make sure you go to the Rugby Network to watch the full episode of the Rugby Rundown.